Welcome to the How to Stay the Coronavirus Plague Briefing. This is not, and this is a podcast. Podcast number 12. Episode number 12. The word stay in the Bible means stop. How to stop the coronavirus plague. We use the word plague. This is not just a virus. As far as science is concerned and medicine is concerned, we believe that this is God sent punishment, first and foremost, against the church for being hypocrites and phonies and fakes and continuing in sin, even after being chastised. We all sin, we all mess up from time to time, but after God deals with us, we should confess our sins and repent and say with one famous preacher, "I bet you I won't do that again." And so if you are continuing in sin, and yet you're supposed to be a preacher and a leader in the church, and a pastor's wife, and so forth, and then there's something wrong somewhere, and God is not pleased, first and foremost, with the house of God, with His people. Always remember, now, God deals with His people, and He's dealing with His people first and foremost. Now, there is some collateral damage. Because of our failure as Christians. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Jesus, in the New Testament, told one church that he was rebuking, that he gave somebody in that church space to repent, and they chose not to take advantage of that space to repent, so judgment falls. You can call it whatever you want to. Chastisement, rebuke. God loves us so much, He is not going to let us continue in our evil ways. Now, every born-again Christian who's been saved for a while, they know that God will chastise them individually. He will chastise us as a family. He will chastise individual churches. He has done so. Everybody knows He's done so. Why won't He just go ahead and do a wholesale chastisement of the whole church or people who call themselves the church? Call themselves representing Him. And that's what He's doing right now. You can say it however you want to say it. That is coming directly from God, which I believe it is. Which He's been trying to warn us of for many years. I've been preaching on it for the past 10 years myself, and nearly every day for the past 4 years. Now, I am a Baptist Bible-believing preacher. You could consider me to be a conservative Christian preacher, straight down the line. I'm not a charismatic preacher, even though my mother's a charismatic preacher. I got some of that in my background. My dad was a Baptist preacher, ordained as a Baptist preacher. I was ordained as a Baptist preacher. But with while we were praying this morning, and God does this to me, and so I said all of that to say this to you, that I don't do stuff like this. I don't bring up stuff like this unless it really happened. While we were praying this morning, my family is witness, as God began to bring the tears from my eyes as I was praising Him for His love, His mercy, and His grace, He spoke to my heart in a very real sense and said, "Son, I really didn't want to do it." I really did not want to do it, but I had to. Now you can take it for what it's worth. That's what God told me. And we had a conversation about it. I cannot explain that to you. I don't even bring stuff up like that to people because people are not going to believe it. And that's fine. I wouldn't believe it myself if somebody said that. So, you know, it's not a biggie. But that's what he spoke to my heart about this morning. He said, son, I did all I could to warn everybody. I did not want to do this, but I had to. And those of us who are truly saved and those of us who are truly born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, we are rejoicing in God that he is being vindicated in this wicked, evil, twisted church full of sin and world full of sin. And we're the reason behind it, the so-called church. Let me help you just a little bit. We don't pray as God and Jesus commanded us. We don't read the Bible. We don't have family devotion. Some of y'all are starting to do it now because you have to. He's forcing you to do so. Not faithful to church. Not faithful in giving. Got boyfriends and girlfriends in the church from the pulpit on down, including the pastor's wife. She's whoring around too. Pastors are whoring around, being whoremongers. Got girlfriends in the church and got boyfriends in the church. They're homosexuals. One of the reasons why the church is so weak and so quiet about the abomination of homosexuality is because homosexuals has the numbers of many pastors who are homos themselves. And they're ready to pull the rug out from underneath them as soon as they say something about it. They're secret homosexuals. They're on the down low, got their wife for pictures, got their wife and children for pictures, but they're on the down low in the church. That's obvious because when Morehouse announced that they had a bunch of homosexuals down there in Morehouse, the Baptist preachers who are on the wall of faith, nobody says anything. That's Morehouse College where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. graduated from. They got a statue out in front of the, I believe it's the chapel, or one of the main buildings of him. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was not perfect, but he was no homosexual. And so that's what's happening. That's why we have this plague upon us. God is not pleased, first and foremost, with the church. And sad to say, the church is not in a repenting mood. And you know the world is not. And some people are so dark in their mind, so blind, that they have no clue what's going on. They really think it's a scientific problem or a medical problem, and they're gritting their teeth just like the Bible said, and really just ignoring God, not acknowledging him, and saying, you know, we're in this together. We're going to fight this thing and we're going to win. The only way that you're going to win is if God shows mercy, love, and grace. If enough people in his church confess their sins, pray, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways. All this divorce, separation and divorce, remarriage, and all of that going on, God is not pleased with that. Molesting children, raping children, messing their minds. Just, you know why so many young people are messed up? Because of grown men who claim to be preachers, priests, raping them at the altar in the church, making them commit oral sex and other ungodliness. How can you recover from something like that? How can you not become a homosexual after a priest did that to you? They represent God. Or your father, or your stepfather, or your mother, or your stepmother, or a brother, or your stepbrother, or a sister, or your stepsister did that to you. Your cousin did that to you. That's why this world, the church is messed up, and the world is messed up. Men don't know how to be men. Women don't know how to be women. And God is not pleased. And I want to tell you something. I know some of y'all saying, I can't wait till this is over so we can get back to normal. There's not going to be any normal people. No more normal. God does not want that. If we don't repent, America as we know it will never be the same. In fact, America as we know it faces the abyss. If you don't know what the abyss is a big old dark, cavernous, endless thing where you just keep falling and you never hit bottom. And that's what we're facing. If God's people don't pray, seek God's face, turn, here's the key point, turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves before God. You will never see America. I've already told my children, and it breaks their hearts because I have children who are doing quite well on their own, and they are under 30. They've already done many, many things in life, and I told them you ought to be thankful that you've traveled around the world, you have seen places, and you've done mission work around the world, you have already, you're in a position to help your father's ministry in the thousands of dollars because God has blessed you, and you're doing well, you got your own place, it's nice, it's laid, and I know you have many dreams. It's okay, and I told my oldest daughter today, it's okay for me to die. And that's right, many preachers are dying in this place. And let me help you people. And I'm going to have our team, our media team, to put something together tomorrow. Let me tell you something. A whole lot of black folk are dying in this coronavirus plague. Do you hear me? And it's getting ready to get worse down in Louisiana and Mississippi. I would venture to say from what I have seen, I would venture to say about 60% of the dead in America are black. I saw something the other day. The media didn't make any hay about it. Five police officers, the only five, I think, that have died at that point were all black. And let me just add this part. They were all heavy set. You must understand, my beloved, that this, and here's what the doctors and the nurses call the coronavirus. They call it the beast. Because one doctor said a person can look healthy 1 minute when they come in and so forth and everything's fine. An hour later, we're carrying them out because they're dead. One preacher in Maryland, in Virginia, said this thing is no joke. He said he basically saw death's door. He begged God, God, please give me another chance. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International. Let's read Exodus chapter 32, verses 33 through 35. And I'm reading this, and along with all of the other verses regarding the plagues that God sent to punish his people. And that's what we're dealing with, no matter what President Trump says, no matter what Dr. Fauci says, no matter what Dr. Birx says, and I believe Dr. Birx is a Christian, but they're looking at it from a scientific standpoint and a medical standpoint, because after all of these years since Exodus, we know the patterns, and we can model, because there have been several plagues since that time. Okay, we have a lot of education now and a lot of smart people who can kind of figure out, but it's still a plague. But one thing they can't do is stop the plague, because if they could stop the plague, they would stop it. But they can't. And yesterday, over 1,000 people in one day, 24-hour period, died in America, the technology capital of the world, where all the masters of the universe in technology out in California. Why is the presidents and leaders of Google and Facebook and Microsoft and IBM, why can't they put their heads together to stop this thing? Because they know they can't stop it. They're so smart, they know they can't stop it. They were the first ones to run, and everybody should have followed them when they ran. They shut down their beautiful campuses and said, everybody stay home. And guess what? That's what they did. And do you know, the whole world has not missed a beat technology-wise, internet-wise, and everybody in technology world is working from home. Exodus chapter 32, verses 33-35. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me. See, this is the problem that God has. Okay? You're sinning against him. Wives, you're not only sinning against your husband, you're sinning against God. Children, not only sinning against your parents, you're sinning against God. All husbands, you know who you're sinning against. You're sinning against God. Not just your wife, but God. Not just against your vows, but God. God takes this personally. And I don't know why we think that God has changed when he told you he changes not. Him, God said, will I blot out of my book. This means that God will bring down punishment upon people who sin against him. He takes it personally. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Notice how God speaks to the leader he chooses to lead the people. Mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. God does not play. Now here's some Old Testament for you to help you out. Those of you who have been duped and deceived in believing preachers like Andy Stanley that the Old Testament is not for us, that we ought to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. Let me give you a little New Testament. First of all, let me give you the last book of the Bible. Read all seven letters that Jesus gave to the church and see if God has changed. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. He complimented what he could, but he promised chastisement and rebuke on those who would not repent. The same thing that we see in the Old Testament. Not only that, in the New Testament, the Bible says, be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. The church has been mocking God for years. Pastors, preachers, teachers, pastors' wives have made a mockery of the church, of Jesus, of the Word of God. They have mocked God. But the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. What that means is you can try to mock him, but you're going to pay the price. That's New Testament, baby. Okay? I don't want to hear anything about Old Testament. Old Testament does not count. We ought to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. You can't unhitch yourself from the Old Testament. That is insane. That's ridiculous. That is asinine. Be not deceived. And it says the same in the Greek. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And what you are experiencing right now, my beloved, is the whirlwind. We have sown the wind, and God has brought the whirlwind against us. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. But for everybody who names the name of Christ to do some wholesale repenting. And by the way, God is not just interested in confession. That's the beginning point. He's not that interested in just a little prayer. You need to pray. You need to seek his face. But God is especially interested in some turning around. Turning from your wicked ways. Now he's on that right there, right now. He wants to see that. Otherwise, ain't nothing happening. Excuse the English. They can send out models and they can project all they want to. This is not going to end until some wholesale repentance takes place. Stop thinking of this in scientific terms. I told President Trump this. This is not a scientific problem. This is not a medical problem. This is a spiritual problem, sir. And you must approach it from that standpoint. And when you have your briefings, you need to acknowledge God. You need to have somebody in there praying to God before y'all say a word. The Bible says, and the Lord plagued the people. The Lord plagued the people. And that's what you have today. Whenever you have a... Listen to me very carefully. In the newspapers today, they said what I've been saying all along. You can catch this thing in midair. You don't need to be touched by anybody. You don't have to have somebody to just come and sneeze and snot on you. You can catch it walking in the street. That's why they want you to stay in. You can catch it in your apartment. People are catching it and they're staying inside. Listen to me very carefully. As human beings, as medical officers, Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx are rock stars. They're doing their job. They're doing their thing. But here's what they're saying. They're saying that if everybody in the United States of America, and we don't allow anybody in our country, 100%, 100,000 to over 200,000 people, almost a quarter of a million people will die anyway. That's what they're saying to you. I'm saying that if the church does not do a wholesale repentance and get out in public and apologize to God, to Jesus, and to the world for our failures from our so-called Christian leaders... We're not hearing anything much from our Christian leaders. Where are they? Only a few. Thank God for them. Where are the great Christian leaders, the servant leaders? Where, what? Where are you? If that does not happen, I'm saying to you, it's going to be over 1 million to 2 million people, if not more. Because this may never end. The word of God says, and the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Now, Dr. Matthew Henry. No, you need to move over here. Come forward some more. More. And come over here. Dr. Matthew Henry said, observe how prevalent his address was. God would not take him at his word. No, he will not blot any out of his book, but those that by their willful disobedience have forfeited the honor of being enrolled in it. The soul that sins shall die, and not the innocent, for the guilty. This was also an intimation of mercy to the people. Now, this is why I told you the other day, people, don't try to make this into a party like the world is, with your little TikTok videos and all that foolish. This is not partying time. This is not playing time. Don't you try to follow Kim's sisters and try to make this a party. And I'm talking to people who claim to be Christians. This is not partying time. And what I'm saying to you is, don't be talking about, oh, I'm going to hook up with my boo. And by the way, I'm going to talk to you single folk tonight, like I told you and like I promised you. Some of you single women, by the way, need to go back home and stay home and ride this out back home if you're a Christian. But what I'm trying to tell you is, don't be talking about, I'm going to get with my boo. I'm going to shack up while the plague is going on. You and your boo are going to die together. I want to get with my partner who we're committing adultery together. I'd rather be with him than with my husband or with my wife. And so I'm going to stay with him. And we're going to ride this out. We're going to quarantine together. That's how people are thinking, even in the church. One news report says more liquor has been bought than anything else, because people think they're going to party throughout this plague. And it's not about that. So you need to, what you need to be doing is confessing your sins and repenting and turning away from your evil ways and seeking God's face. He goes on to say, this was also an intimation of mercy to the people, that they should not all be destroyed in a body, but those only that had a hand in the sin, those who did evil. God promises, notwithstanding, to go on with his kind intention of giving them the land of Canaan, the land he had spoken to them of. Yet he threatens to remember his sin, he threatens to remember this sin against them when hereafter he should see cause to punish them for other sins. And what I'm trying to remind you of is God has not changed. God is extremely merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and full of loving kindness. But when enough is enough, God will deal with his people. And that's what we are seeing today. Contrary to what the media people say, contrary to what some pastors are saying, contrary to what the doctors are saying. Even the doctors are telling you No, this is not a flu bug. This is something else. And it is highly contagious. Many that are not immediately cut off in their sins are reserved for a further day of reckoning. And see, some people say, well, I hope this we get past this right here, and then we'll be all right from that point on. No, if you continue in your sin, something worse is coming. This is bad. And by the way, let me help you. I think over 5,000 people, they say, it's probably more than that, have died in America alone already. If that doesn't move you to repent, I don't know what will. That by itself. And I like this part. Vengeance is slow but sure. For the present, the Lord plagued the people, probably by the pestilence or some other infectious disease. That's what we're dealing with right now. Which was a messenger of God's wrath and an earnest of worse to come. Thus Moses prevailed for a reprieve and a mitigation. You probably heard the word mitigation quite a bit, of the punishment, but could not wholly turn away the wrath of God. Many of you will recall me preaching over the past 4 years how that I want all of us to confess our sins and to repent, because I don't want to have to go through experiencing what we're experiencing right now. My favorite grocery store, which is normally open until 12, is closed. And some of you laughed when I said it, and like that would never happen. Where the shelves are bare, you can only get what you can get. You got to line up in front of grocery stores to get what you can get. And what's going to happen, it was already mentioned in the newspaper today, because all of the countries are shut down and all the borders are closed around the world, the food delivery system from all over the world is going to dry up. And there are thousands of products that we Americans love that we can't have anymore. And if we don't repent, we'll never see them again. You say, well, I don't like this. You can not like it all you want to, but what you can do and what you should be doing is get rid of your boo up out of your apartment. Stop texting your boo. Is there any way you can come over here, boo? Stop that. Stop it. Cut off your phone, whatever you need to do to get rid of your boo. Cut all that mess out. All your adultery, all your fornication, all your lust, all your homosexuality, all that. Don't be doing that. All your fornication, all your drunkenness, trying to party your way through this. And guess what's going to happen? You might get drunk out of your mind when you wake up, if God wakes you up. And if you don't have the coronavirus choking you to death in the morning. And by the way, a whole lot of alcohol, you understand now, alcohol has a way of decreasing your immune system. And so all that alcohol you're drinking, you're just weakening your body. So when the coronavirus hits you, it's just going to take you on out. And anyway, when you wake up from your drunk, your drunken stupor, you're going to wake up and realize that the plague is still upon you. And then it's going to start killing some folk in your family. Like I told you, a whole lot, everybody's checking out. Chinese, red, yellow, black, and white. But I just noticed a whole lot of black folk checking out through this coronavirus plague. Now, Dr. Leonard Ravenhill said, a man may study because his brain is hungry for knowledge, even Bible knowledge. But he prays because his soul is hungry for God. Now to the news. According to the AP, there are now 1 million coronavirus cases. I said over 1 million. And the media lies so much. You know that governments make media. The media lie about things like this. You know that all around the world. It's probably 2 or 3 million. We know the Chinese folks are lying. That's been proven. They're lying about their dead. How can it start over there and we got more dead than they do? I doubt that. And over 50,000 coronavirus deaths worldwide. That's what the media is saying. I assure you that it is way more than that. Italy admitted that they are not counting everybody because thousands are dying, hundreds are dying at least, at home. They don't count them. And by the way, since the plague is upon us and it's not going anywhere, you need to prepare for your family members who are going to die from this. You need to help them to understand if they die from this, they will die alone. They will die alone. No husband, no wife, no children, no grandchildren, no nieces, nephews, no cousins, nobody. They will die alone. They will be taken out alone, and they will be probably buried in a mass grave. So you need to understand, and you need to get that squared away on how you're going to handle that, because that's bad. Now, according to the Daily Mail of Great Britain, the U.S. death toll from the coronavirus skyrocketed in the last 24 hours, taking the number of Americans killed by the virus passed over, of course, 5,000 people. 5,000 souls already in America, the land of Apple, the land of Facebook, the land of Microsoft, the land of IBM, the land of MIT, the land of Harvard, the land of Yale, the land of Princeton, the greatest country in the history of the world outside of Israel. Can't stop it. The greatest doctors in the world can't stop it. In fact, they're dying of it. The greatest nurses in the world can't stop it. In fact, they're dying of it. According to the Daily Mail, the number of Americans filing new claims for unemployment benefits last week, on top of 3.3 million just this past week, shot up to a record 6.6 million, which means 10 million right out of a booming economy with the lowest unemployment rate in history almost. Now we have 10 million people who have lost their jobs. 10 million. God is reminding the world that He is in control. The president is not in control. The White House is not in control. The Democrats are not in control. The Republicans are not in control. and Christians who have foolishly taken sides, they should not be on anybody's side but God's, and they find themselves caught in the middle like a deer caught in the headlights. And many don't know what to do. And I'm talking about our so-called great Christian leaders, our great servant leaders. So let's deal with the home family. I am trying to help you with four things. Home family, that means in your family, like in the old days, and you're home with your spouse and your children all day long, and maybe some other family members as well. Well, that's the home family. Not the American family, that which you're used to, which God is sick of, evidently, because that's why he put you back into the house together. And some of you are about to die. Some of you can't stand it. You hate it with a passion. You don't even know what to do with yourself, because you have to be there with your husband and your wife and your children all day long. And nobody in your family can stand it. Even Jake Tapper today was talking to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. And even Jake Tapper said, now, you know, my wife and I, we've been doing the homeschool thing like everybody else, you know. And that first week, you know, first 2 weeks, you know, it was an emergency situation, and, you know, we all adjusted and we pulled up some things together and we did it and tried to make it as fun as possible. But he said, now, wait a minute now. He said, now, this is the third week. Do you have any help for me and my family and all of the other families? He said, it's one thing to do for a week or two. And he was honest about it. But to do it for three and four, and then seeing the abyss, not knowing when this is going to end. Some people talking about May, some talking about June, some talking about September, some talking about the fall, some talking about the end of the year, some folk talking about way for the next 2 years, we're going to be stuck in this. So I'm trying to help you with the home family, number one. Number two, and it's not really in order of importance. It should be home worship is number one. Home church, number one. Home family, number two. Home school, number three. And then home business, number four. You got to do all four of these things now. Some of you, bless your heart, some of you people in some of these counties out here, you got beautiful parks and everything. You going to the park more than ever now. They got people, they don't hire people to watch you, to make sure you stay away from people 6 feet away. They got t-shirts on. Not the police officers can't, they don't have time for it. They don't hire, the police officers don't hire some folk with t-shirts on, going out and telling y'all to stay away from each other. Y'all crowding the park because you're trying to get out that house. Trying to get out. Trying to get some action going. So, for the first time, I'm going to deal with the home family, dealing with the singles. I'm not a pastor. And so, people like me called to do what I do. We normally don't deal with stuff like this, but I'm trying to help you. I'm going to tell you what I know from the standpoint of a prophet, from the standpoint of an evangelist, a person who has that kind of calling. Now, you're going to have to get with your pastor for all the details. But I'm going to tell you what you can't do. That's why you don't like me. Cause I don't sugarcoat it. There's some things you better not do. And you cannot get with your boo and quarantine together with your boo. Do you hear me? You can forget that. Because you and your boo are going to die together. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. So what am I going to do about my needs? You shouldn't have any needs, because you should not be having sex together with anybody in the first place, okay? You should be a virgin. You should not be doing anything like that. I never heard that before. I know, because you're not praying, you're not reading your Bible, and you got a pastor who wants to have sex with you too. So that's why you haven't heard it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." And now you got some devilish homosexuals saying, "Yeah, see? So they can touch a man." No, they can't, devil. No, they can't, you homosexual devil. Don't twist the scriptures. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Now, that's clear as day. Now, let me help you. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said about this passage, apparently, one of the questions the church asked was, "Is celibacy remaining unmarried more spiritual than marriage?" And by the way, I used to be single, so I know what you're dealing with. Paul replied that it is good for a man or a woman to have the gift of celibacy, but the celibate state is not better than marriage, nor is it the best state for everybody. Some people can't handle celibacy, and I know it was not for me. The truth of the matter is, the main reason why I got married is so that I could have sex without sinning against God. And to me, that's a great benefit. You say, "You should get married for love and romance and Romeo and Juliet and candlelit dinners and so forth." And so I know that's wonderful and dandy for you. But that was not the reason why I got married. I'm glad that that's why you got married. But I was focusing on that first verse. First two verses there. Dr. Kenneth Woost translates Paul's reply, "It is perfectly proper, honorable, morally befitting for a man to live in strict celibacy." That means single, not involved with a woman, and I got to say this in this day and time, not involved with another stinking man. You say, "I don't like you saying it like that." Well, it don't matter to me how you like what you like. Every man ought to see another man as an ugly stinking man. That's it. There should be no attraction whatsoever of one man to another. Period. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 6 makes it clear that celibacy is permitted, but it is not commanded. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 7 informs us that not everybody has the gift of remaining celibate. And I would say most people don't have it. That's what I would say today in the Gentile community. Most of us don't. We don't have the gift of celibacy. And most men, I don't know of one man who has the gift of celibacy. Not one. I believe there's some women who can do without. But I don't know of a man in America who has the gift of celibacy, in the church or out of the church. This ties in with our Lord's teaching in Matthew chapter 19, verses 10 and 12 through 12, where eunuchs refers to those who abstain from marriage. "It is not good that the man should be alone." is generally true for most people. But some have been called to a life of singleness for one reason or another, but is not for homosexuality or lesbianism. You're sinning against God with an abomination if you participate like that. And there are some people right now hooking up with their homosexual friends and their lesbian friends, trying to ride out a punishment for that particular abomination and sin. And you're going to end up dead, messing around with God, when you know better. You know better. Their singleness is not sub-spiritual or super-spiritual. It all depends on the will of God. One purpose for marriage is to avoid fornication. And this is the main purpose and the main reason why yours truly, formerly Danny B., or Daniel White III. That's why I got married. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 makes it clear that God does not approve either of polygamy or homosexuality or homosexual marriages. One man married to one woman has been God's pattern from the first. From the very beginning. Let me make it plain to you. So you cannot be in your apartment or in your house having sex with a man, with a woman, with an animal, with a robot, or with an object, or with yourself. All of that is sin. What? What, preacher? Now you know what you know is sin. You know all of it. You do what you want to do. You have free will. But you're going to have to face the consequences. You need to let that go. Leave it alone. Or get married. Well, I was going to get married. I had a big wedding planned. Now I can't do it because of your plague that you done called down from heaven. There's still a way to get married, but you can't have the big wedding. You might be able to do that maybe in 2 or 3 years, but your pastor can marry you virtually. You can use your iPhone, put your hand on the Bible, repeat the vows, and he could be at his house. And with the power invested in me, you can be married and you'll be free. Have all the sex you want to have. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You can't go down to the church. Well, you can have 10 right now if you go fast, because they're going to get that rid of that too. You can have 10 people at your wedding at the church. The pastor, all y'all going to have to take your temperature and take your blood pressure and everything else, whatever you need to do. Okay, have your party of 10, including the pastor. Make sure there's nobody sick. You can do that down at the pastor's office, in the auditorium. Get married. Yeah, listen to me very carefully. If you can't control yourself and you're in heat, male or female, and you're burning up and all you're thinking about is sex, 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 sex. You, sir, Christian ma'am, there's only one choice for you. Only one thing you can do, according to the Bible, and that is get married. Otherwise, you're going to burn in your lusts. People are not going to hear from you, and you're going to be sitting on the bed when they come in and to check on you, burnt up. If you can handle it and sex is not a big deal to you, the better off you're going to be, particularly in this plague. And may God help you, you young ladies, and you don't even want to have sex, and you just having sex to satisfy some devil who won't marry you, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, Christian. He's not your husband. You don't have to do anything. Let me put it to you this way. You don't have to do nothing. I know that's bad English, but it sounds better. And you don't even want to have it, and you feel icky and ugly and nasty, and you got to take 10 showers and all that. You don't need to be bothered with no foolishness like that. Don't let that boo in the that devil boo in the door. Lock your door and don't let him in, because he's coming. He'll come, yes sir, yes siree. He'll come inside in the play. He'll come in a snowstorm. He'll march through the snow to try to get to you. But you don't have to go through that. If you know you can maintain yourself, you're not interested in that, don't be bothered with that. Remain a virgin. And tell everybody this is locked up until you get married. Until you marry me, that's it. So we need to see a whole lot of virtual marriages. A whole lot of marriages where there's only 10 people in the church. And you got to put that thing on your head and take your temperature. Make sure you're all right first. However, the husband and wife must not abuse the privilege of sexual love. That is a normal part of marriage. In other words, some people who try to use, especially women, who try to use sex against their husbands to control their husband, and so many of you men have been whipped. I don't want to say the other word. You've been whipped by your wife. She's got you under control. And here's what she does to you. You poor little man. If you go and do, here's my honey-do list. You do these 50 things right here, then you might get some action tonight. Big boy, wash the dishes for me. Change the children's diapers for me. Clean the house for me. That's after you done worked 10 hours on a demanding job. And make the bed, wash the clothes. I remember way back, I forget it, the baby face. Sung a song. Babyface sung a song years ago, and I said, I ain't doing that. Babyface said, I love you so much, baby. I'll wash your clothes, I'll pay your rent, I'll buy your car. Well, I said, whoa, babyface, what? Oh, what's wrong? And you know what happened? His beautiful wife ended up leaving him for a real man who was not going to wash her clothes or pay her rent or anything like that. Because no woman really wants that. You know, they just make you think, and they use the sex to control you. Got you on rations for a whole month. You can't have anything until for once a month. What? You got to do all of that. That's the game some women play. The Bible says the wife's body belongs to the husband. Let's get it on. And the husband's body to the wife. Let's get it on. And each must be considerate of the other. That's one of the beauties. I don't care what you say. That's one of the beauties. That's one of the blessings. That's one of the benefits of the married life. And it gets better and better as time goes on, and it should. Sexual love is a beautiful tool to build with, not a weapon to fight with and to tear down with. Some of you controlling wives, stop doing that. To refuse each other is to commit robbery. What? Commit robbery? And to invite Satan to tempt the partners to seek their satisfaction elsewhere. Okay? So, you got it all tonight. And I made it very clear to you, if you're single, here's what you can't do. You can't quarantine with your boo. Well, my boo's going to be with me. The devil going to say boo to both of y'all, and y'all going to be dead together. I would not do that. Don't tempt God, people. You cannot be masturbating, looking at pornography. And I want to say this to you now. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian, you know you ought not to be looking at pornography. Looking at other people having sex, that's just going to drive you crazy, because you are going to be trying to get something that you can't have. And pornography will never satisfy you. And masturbation will never satisfy you. It's not. And you're going to feel guilty if you're a child of God. I'm not talking lost people right now. I'm talking to saved people. I'm reading the Bible. You're going to feel guilty about it. All day long, all week long, and you're not, you know you don't want to talk to God about it. You can't be using instruments. Sticks and pipes and things like that, you can't be doing that. You can't be trying to get off on an animal. God forbid. You can't have a maintenance man come by, because he may have the coronavirus disease on him. Can't do that. You can't call over a prostitute. You know they got the coronavirus. And you can't have a robot. You say, how you know? The Bible don't say anything about a robot. Some of y'all laying in the bed right now with a robot. God help you. May God help you. What if Jesus walked in on you and your robot? You got a doll, a robot, laying beside you that you having sex with. You say, well, the Bible don't say nothing about having sex with a robot. If you can't have sex with another man's wife or another woman's husband, and you can't have sex with a child, and you can't have sex with an animal, well, then you can't have sex with a robot that you created. Just use common sense. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about all that. You do what you want. When you go to sleep and that robot wakes up on you and starts slapping you upside the head, don't call me. And very briefly tonight, homeschool. I dealt with the home family tonight. Homeschool. I'm trying to help you get through it, because it's going to be a while. Homeschool. Daniel 1:17 says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. I want you to pay close attention to what Dr. James Emery White says here. He said, imagine what it must be like for a child to hear at home that there is a God who loves them, and then go to school and hear that there isn't a God at all, or at home that God created everything there is in the world, but at school that there is no God involved at all, and we evolved from monkeys. Or having decided to wait to introduce your child to the adult world of sexuality until they are age appropriate, only to have your 8-year-old child come home and tell you they learned about condoms that day, or that their teacher, Mrs. Johnson, Mrs. Gail Johnson showed them a picture of her wife. Homeschooling ensures congruency between your values, teaching, beliefs, and education. I've been telling people for years, bring your children home and teach them yourself. And you didn't do so, so God brought them home for you. That'll cut down on all these school shootings as well. See, that's another thing God is upset with, all this stuff, foolishness. Largely because the church has not done her job of praying for everybody, loving everybody, and going into all the world and preaching the gospel to everybody. We haven't even done the basics that Jesus left for us to do, but we're doing everything else evil. And you wonder why the plague is on us? A modern day plague in 2020. You never expected it, but it's here. Get used to it. Now, in closing, ladies and gentlemen, as thousands are dying every day, not every week, not every month, not every year, thousands are dying every day around the world, going out into eternity. If you are with us tonight and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, and that is burning in hell throughout eternity. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please understand also that because of your sins, you deserve punishment in that awful place called hell. We all do. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. This is both physical death and spiritual death in hell. But here is the good news. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Hell is the bad news. This is the good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The phrase "for God so loved the world" means that if you are in this world, if you're still living, even if you're on your deathbed, God loves you no matter what you have done in life. The next phrase, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus is speaking about himself. This refers to Jesus Christ. He is God's only begotten Son who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. And he rose, and he was buried, and he rose on the third day. He is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God, Emmanuel, God with us, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross in a cruel crucifixion, was buried, and rose on the third day for you and for me. That's what our God has done for us. That's what our Savior Jesus Christ did for us. You see, that's an ugly picture. It is an ugly picture because you must understand your sin is ugly and my sin is ugly. And this innocent Lamb of God took our sins upon himself and died for our sins and was buried and rose again. And all you have to do is believe on him. That leads me to my next point. Our next phrase is that whosoever believeth in him. the word whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious in God's sight. The phrase believeth in him means to trust in him, to depend upon him, to rely on him, to have faith in him, Jesus, for your soul's salvation. And so our next phrase, should not perish, refers to perishing in hell, eternal punishment in a place called hell. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place of pain. Hell is a place of an agonizing memory. Hell is a place that once you go there, you can't come out. There is no such thing as purgatory. There is no such thing as limbo. The Pope knows it, and the Catholics have been lying for years. There's no in between. Nobody can buy you out of hell. Nobody can pray you out of hell. Once you go to hell, you will never get out. And that's why you need to be saved tonight. And lastly, the phrase, but have everlasting life. This means to live forever in heaven with God and with Jesus and with the angels and with the saints. The Bible also says, to make it very clear to you, in Romans 10, 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, as I said, you might be on your deathbed. You might have the coronavirus, and you might not have gone to the hospital yet. You're debating it. You're thinking that you can handle it. I want to encourage you to go to the hospital if you can. But before you go, please pray with me this simple prayer. Believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose on the third day. Mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight, for I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have lusted after and coveted after people and things before. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I've taken your holy name in vain. And I've committed many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, based upon your holy word, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I receive you into my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life. And help me to follow you in the new life. Lord Jesus, for it is in your name I pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith so that you can be the Christian that God wants you to be. Also, if you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. We pray for people, new people every day. And what a privilege it is to intercede for other people. Did you know that Jesus Christ is interceding for you? And so we're doing the same thing that our Savior is doing for us. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.